Many people simply don't believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back. And this niece of mine who accepted the Lord Jesus in high school said, I think I'll go around to different churches and find out if they believe Jesus is coming back. This was something she'd heard. And so she went around different ministers and she was asking them, do you believe Christ is coming back to this earth? And she was amazed. Church after church, the ministers saying, no, we don't believe that. We believe, you know, that, you just live this life, do the best you can, and try to follow the Bible. It's got some good rules for you and good advice, but we don't believe Jesus is coming back. Quite amazing. We're going to look at Matthew 24 today and notice here what the Lord Himself has to say about this whole matter. Matthew 24, and we start with verse 1. Call this the king's predictions, because Matthew is emphasizing that Jesus is a great king. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. I think we'll stop with the reading there just to notice a few things. First of all, there by the temple, this beautiful temple in Jerusalem, and the disciples are commenting on it. They're saying, look at this beautiful temple. It was being remodeled, refurbished, and Herod had started this, and it was being continued. And it was a beautiful, beautiful building. The disciples say, look at how beautiful this building is. And Jesus says to them, well, do you see these things? He says, not one stone is going to be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. He says, this temple is going to be destroyed. It's going to be torn apart. Won't be anything left. Be a pile of rubble. And that shook them, because the temple was very, very important to them. It was the center of their worship. It's really the center of their government, of their hopes. The temple is so important. And here Jesus is saying it's going to be destroyed, utterly destroyed. Which in effect is saying, too, your nation is going to be destroyed. And so the disciples are very, very concerned and upset. And so they come to him. He's sitting now on the Mount of Olives across from the temple. And if you ever go there, you can sit on the Mount of Olives and the valley drops down and then it goes up to Jerusalem. And across from you, you see the temple. What used to be the temple, it isn't there now. But you see the shrine they've built, the Muslims have built, the Dome of the Rock. And you can see that, a beautiful view there from Mount of Olives. His disciples come to him, he's sitting there, and they say, now look, you said this is all going to be torn down. Tell us. And they ask two questions. When is this going to happen? When will the temple be destroyed? And when are you going to come back? What's the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And so Jesus now is going to deal with these. And first of all, in these verses 4 to 14, he talks about general conditions before he comes back. And then he's going to go back and talk about the destruction of the temple. And he says there are going to be a lot of false prophets that are going to arise. There are going to be all sorts of voices you're going to hear. And today in the world, you have to say there are all kinds of religions, all kinds of false messages being given all around the world. There are false leaders in Christian churches. Men who don't preach the gospel. This last week we had some friends in our home. For years they went to one of the first churches here in this city. And he said, I never heard the gospel there. And when he heard the gospel, he went back to the minister. And he confronted him about it. And he said, how come we didn't hear the gospel here? And the minister was very upset. He didn't believe in the resurrection. He didn't really believe that Christ is the Son of God. He was a false prophet, really. But here he's the leader of one of the large churches where people who are professionals go, better class people. And it's a false message. False prophets all over the world. And there are those with a false message, and some of them even saying, I'm the Christ. There's a David Koresh who had his following down in Waco, Texas, and was putting himself forward as the messenger of God. There's a man in Japan who has such a following, you remember, and was arrested with his following of people, professional people, intelligent people, but so blinded and confused. Here they're following this man, and they're giving all their possessions, all their money, everything they have to him. And they're then, having these laboratories where they're concocting poisonous gas and all the rest. Jesus said a lot of false messages are going to be heard. He said there are going to be all kinds of troubles in this world. Wars, he says, rumors of wars. We've had lots of wars in this century. The First World War, what a terrible war it was. If you go to Europe, you'll see fields that are covered with white headstones where thousands, millions of men died in that First World War. And then the Second World War comes along, another terrible war, where we lost so many men. And where millions, I think they say in Russia itself, there were, 20 million or so killed, civilians and all. Terrible loss of life. Wars. Our country since then had the Korean War. We had Vietnam War. We have had Desert Storm. Wars. There's wars going on right now while we're here. There is fighting going on. Jesus said, going to happen before he comes back. And there are going to be various troubles, he says. Pestilences, famines, and he says earthquakes. And interesting, I read an article a while back that was pointing out that in this century there have been more earthquakes than any other century they know of. Tremendous earthquakes. Not too long ago in Japan, you remember that earthquake around that city of Kobe where you have over 2,000 killed, tremendous loss of life and property and all. One earthquake. Scientists say California is waiting, just waiting for a big one. They've had others that are smaller, but there's going to be a big one, the scientists say. And who knows what will be the loss of life in that. Jesus said, earthquakes. These things, he says, will come before I return. All these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows. He speaks of pestilences, things like this, the various scourges we've had. You think of the AIDS epidemic, the people that are dying with no cure. What a tragic thing. A Christian that was a friend of ours who had been involved sexually a good bit before he was saved, and had picked up AIDS somewhere along the line, died. Terrible death. A man who, when he died, weighed 63 pounds. He was just skin and bone. What a terrible way to die. Jesus said, there are going to be all kinds of troubles before I come back. He says there's going to be persecution. They will deliver you up and kill you. You will be hated. Many will betray one another. And those who keep track of figures like this say there have been more Christians killed in this century than any other. Now we think of the Roman persecutions and those days as terrible, but they say since during this century, this 20th century, there have been more Christians who have been persecuted and killed than any other time. Amazing. Now we've been spared a lot of that, but there are countries even today where you can be imprisoned. If we were meeting together like this without government permission, they could march in and put us in prison, and there could be fierce persecution. So Jesus said, expect that. There's going to be a hatred of the truth. It's not going to be popular to be a Christian in many areas. And I think you're going to see that increasing, perhaps in this country, where true Christians will be persecuted. But then the good news is, he says, the gospel is going to be proclaimed. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And that's great, isn't it? The gospel today is going out around the world. I think of the means of radio. You know, it used to be we had to go in and you would have to personally speak and preach. And if you preached to a large crowd of 1,000 people, it was something. And there were men like George Whitefield who at times would have a large crowd of maybe up to 20,000 people who would gather to hear him preach. But today, with radio and these other means, you can preach to millions and millions of people. And the gospel is going out. There are radio stations such as HCJB down in Quito, Ecuador, which I've visited, and they have programs going out around the world. They send programs into Russia, into China, all around the world. Amazing. And here he says, the gospel will be preached as a witness to all the nations. So we can rejoice in that. The word of God is going out. And we can have a part in that through the printed page and other ways. Now the Lord is, we're going to read on, and the Lord is going to jump back, really. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those with nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. I want to turn over to Luke 20. The Gospel of Luke. And we're going to read a little bit here. A parallel passage. Luke 21. And verse 20, this is a parallel passage, and I think it makes it a little more clear as to what he's referring to. He says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know that its desolation is near. Let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. Let not those who are in the country enter her, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, this is a parallel passage, and it's obvious he's referring here to the destruction of Jerusalem, because they asked him, they asked the Lord, when's the temple going to be destroyed? He says, when you see the holy place desecrated, when you see the armies of surrounding Jerusalem, know that its desolation is near. And you remember, the armies of Rome surrounded Jerusalem, and finally in 70 AD, they entered the city, they destroyed the temple, they just utterly crushed it, and they crucified around the city hundreds and hundreds of Jews. Rome was very angry with their rebellion. So Jesus here is saying, when you see this beginning to happen, when you see the armies surrounding Jerusalem, he says, get out, leave, because it's going to be destroyed. And that happened. And it says the Christians, those who were Christians in the city, as they saw the army surrounding, they left, and being warned by this passage, and took off to get out of the city. So the Lord here is emphasizing, this is when you'll be aware of the fact the city's going to be destroyed, the temple's going to be destroyed. When they come in with their armies and they besiege the city, get out. Flee, he says, because this city is going to be utterly, utterly destroyed. So that's the answer to their question. They say, when is this going to happen? You say, the temple is going to be destroyed, this beautiful temple, this massive temple, huge foundation stones and huge building stones and a beautiful structure. And Jesus says, it's going to all be destroyed. It's going to be broken down. It's going to be utterly destroyed. Nothing left of it. When's it going to happen? He says, all right, you watch. When you see the city surrounded by the armies, when you see them besieging the city, realize this is the time now, it's going to happen. Get out. And they did that. The Christians left as they saw this happening, and the city was utterly, utterly destroyed. And the Jews were scattered. And the city of Jerusalem has been trampled by the Gentiles until just recently, when once again Israel got control of the city. For all these hundreds of years, the Gentiles have possessed Jerusalem. But today, once again, now the Jews have control basically of the city. So the Lord here is talking about those days that when the city will be destroyed. Now, we're going to go back to Matthew, and now he shifts. You see, they're asking him, what about the end time? What about when you come back? Tell us about that too. And so now he begins to talk about what will happen in the last days before he returns. Verse 21 of Matthew 24. Then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. If anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. False Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out or look. He is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. He says there's going to be great tribulation, a time of great trouble for this world, a time of tremendous destruction and loss of life. You read the book of Revelation and you read of some of these plagues and you read of these judgments and you read of these catastrophes that happen where large segments of the population are destroyed. And Jesus here is warning of that time. So there's going to be false religion, false Christ, false prophets, some even doing signs and wonders. Don't think of someone professes to do miraculous things that this is of God. He says this can be very well of the devil himself. Deception, signs and wonders, miracles supposedly, so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So he's cautioning his disciples here. Don't be taken in by these things. Be careful. And be sure you evaluate things, and don't be just taken in by the things that you see. There's going to be terrible, terrible persecution. And then he speaks of the fact that when he comes, he says it'll be very visible. He says it'll be like lightning flashing across. The other evening we were out of the city, and as we were going home, we could see the lightning flashing. Just a tremendous display of lightning. And really what Jesus is saying, when he comes back, it'll be very obvious. You won't have to wonder about it. You won't have to... It won't be someone saying, I'm the Christ, and he's in a small town in Oklahoma, and nobody else knows about it. Really what he's saying is, when he comes, this will be known to all. Now the last part especially emphasizes his return and some of the things that will happen. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. A time, he says, when the universe is going to be shaken. There are going to be these signs. There are going to be evidences. There's going to be stars or meteors falling from the heaven before the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom. So it's going to be a time when people's hearts are going to be filled with fear as they realize something tremendous is about to happen. Look what is happening in the heavens themselves. And then he goes on to speak of his returning in glory. He says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now I want to go back to the book of Daniel and read some verses in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel here has this vision. And I'm going to start reading with verse 9. I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. It's talking about God the Father. His garment was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. The books were opened. Amazing vision here he has of God in heaven. He speaks of him as the Ancient of Days. He describes his garments as white as snow. His hair just like pure wool. His throne is burning with fire. This vision of the Lord sitting upon the throne. Then verse 13, it says, I was watching in the night visions. Behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. So Daniel's watching, and he sees this one who coming, he says, like the Son of Man, in other words, a human being. He comes with the clouds of heaven. He comes to this one who's sitting on the throne, and there's given to him now this great kingdom. He's inaugurated as the king by this one who is the Ancient of Days. And Jesus picks up that same terminology. He says, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And really what he's saying is, I'm the one Daniel was predicting. And I'm going to come back the way Daniel predicted. And I'm going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, for the Jews, this was tremendous. They were familiar with Daniel's prophecy. But here now is Jesus standing before them. And he says, I'm the one. I'm the one that you're waiting for, who's going to come back and set up his kingdom. And he goes back to the book of Daniel, and he picks up that prophecy, and he says, I'm the Son of Man, and I'm going to come back in power and great glory. So it's a tremendous prediction here that he's making and identifying himself with this one that they're waiting for to come one day to set up his kingdom in great glory. And then he says he'll send his angels with a great sound of trumpet. They'll gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of the heaven to the other. Now the next section, going on into chapter 25, he deals with different parables. And I think we'll just notice perhaps one of them. But he says he's going to send out his angels to gather his elect, to gather those who are saved, and they're going to be with him and part of his kingdom. And the important thing, of course, is to ask ourselves the question, am I one of those elect? Am I chosen? Because I've chosen the Lord Jesus. If you've accepted him, if you've received him as your Lord and Savior, then you can say, I'm part of this band, this company that will be gathered to be with the Lord forever. He will send his angels, and they'll gather together his elect. Wonderful thing to be ready. To know that when the Lord comes, that you're going to be caught up to be with him, that he will gather you to be with his people forever. So he speaks of that. Then he goes on in this next section. I just want to touch on this as we consider closing this. He's going to give several parables now to get them thinking about his coming and what their response should be. He says, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, you, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So he says, you go out in the spring, and you see the fig tree putting out buds and putting out leaves, and you look at it and you say, summer's coming. Summer's near. You see the signs of life in the fig tree. And he says, when you see that happening, then you know summer is coming. It's near, because this new life is beginning to show. So he says, you be alert, and when you see all these things falling into place, know that I'm near, that I'm standing at the very door. And he predicts that the generation then that sees these things beginning to take place will see it finish. He says, be alert. I'm coming back. Be waiting. Now, some of these signs and indications are general enough so that in every age, the Lord's people can be anticipating and looking forward to his coming. But as you think of them intensifying, then you realize surely his coming must be near. And many Christians in a special way feel that the Lord's coming is drawing near. He's coming back. And all the evidences, the multiplied wars, the earthquakes, all the things that are happening make us cry out, come Lord Jesus. There's this longing for him to return and to set up his kingdom. and His promise is sure. Sometimes men make promises and you can't always be sure they'll carry them out. You know, General MacArthur, when he left the Philippines, I often think of this, he is kind of a flamboyant character, but as he left the Philippines, he said, "I shall return." And he went away. Well, those were brave words, but no one was absolutely sure he was going to return. He could have been killed. He could have died of a heart attack or who knows what. He couldn't guarantee he'd come back. He did. You know, the day came when our forces finally took the island and he waded ashore, and it was a glorious moment for him. He carried out his promise, "I shall return." But as we think of the Lord Jesus, he made the promise. He said, "If I go away, I will come again." And we can be sure he'll carry that out. You can count on that promise. Many times we're disappointed by the promises of people. But the Lord Jesus said, "I'm coming back." And he says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will by no means pass away." My promise is true. Jesus said, "I'm coming back." He said, "You can count on it. I am going to come back. And I'm going to take you to be with myself. And I'm going to set up my kingdom." He says, "Heaven and earth may pass away. My words will not pass away." He's going to make that good. And sometimes, you know, as we see what's going on in the world, don't you get a longing for the Lord to come back? You see, the problems in the world, almost impossible problems. Think of the problems our government faces and the problems our society faces. You think of the breakup of the home. There are many people that aren't Christians and they're concerned. They're saying what is disturbing about this country is the family is breaking up. Families are not staying together. Children are growing up. I think they say one family in four now has only one parent, and it's getting worse as the years go by. And people are saying, how can we reverse this? How can you once again cause people to marry and stay together and raise their children? And they have no answers. And the problems that this country faces, the difficulties that are faced, the finances. Many older people wondering about, will Social Security last? And the financial problems our government is in. What about Medicare? What about Medicaid? What about our debt? Trillions of dollars. So the United States has tremendous problems. A lot of the other world, the rest of the world looks on and thinks the United States, this is heaven on earth. Well, it isn't really. We have lots of problems that we're not solving. Terrible problems. Problems with drugs. You see people destroying themselves with drugs. And the problem just seems to go on and on and on. We don't seem to be winning the war against drugs. The Lord Jesus, when he comes back, is going to set up his kingdom. And there's going to be righteousness. There's going to be perfect rule. There's going to be the millennial reign. That's going to be perfect. And those of us who are believers are going to be caught up to be with him before he sets up his kingdom. Wonderful hope that we have. The years pass, and you know, you may bury loved ones. Some of you here have gone to funerals. You may have buried a husband or a wife, or a mother, a father. I have a mother who died years ago. And if I'm in the area, I'll go and stand by her headstone and usually pray and once again give myself to the Lord, because she was a godly woman. But there's the hope, the wonderful hope, when he comes back, The dead in Christ are going to be raised. We who are living are going to be changed. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. Wonderful hope. So the Lord Jesus, as he tells us these things, wants these truths to grip us and to encourage us and to cause us to be people with hope. These are truths that should motivate us. They should make me want to live more for the Lord. They should make me want to witness and to tell others of him. Because all around there are people that are struggling with sin and struggling with the problems of life without God and without hope. We have a wonderful message. A message of hope concerning the Lord Jesus, who loved us, who died for us, who's risen from the dead, who's coming back. And that hope of his coming again gives us joy and peace in a troubled world. So may the Lord help us to once again just lay hold of this hope, and that it might be more real in our lives that he is coming back again.